And for those of you that were with us this morning, you'll know that we gave a brief overview of the Protestant Reformation of the early 16th century. What I'd like to address this afternoon, following on from that, is the question why I am a Protestant. Now, knowing my history as you do, growing up in Northern Ireland, I was steeped in what was traditionally called Protestant culture. I went to a Protestant school. I attended a Protestant church. I sang Protestant songs. I played Protestant music. I joined Protestant marching bands. For many, Protestantism was a cultural thing. It was closely aligned to our politics of unionism, and that's basically the maintaining of the historic union of the United Kingdom of Scotland and Wales and England and Northern Ireland. It's also associated to our loyalism, our fealty to the British Crown as our ruling monarch. For many, that's what Protestantism means. It wasn't, however, until my conversion that I realised that being a Protestant had less to do with all of the cultural trappings and more to do with my faith in God and how that worked itself out in the day-to-day aspects of life. Now, I've always been an avid reader, and after I was converted, I started to frequent the many Bible bookshops that there were dotted across my homeland, and I read books on just about every subject you could find. In fact, there were times you would find me reading maybe three or four different books all at once, maybe a devotional book and a theology book and a Bible commentary and a church history book. I'd read them interspersed with one another because maybe one was just too much to read all the time, and I'd be juggling various books. Well, reading those books, church history became a great love of mine. And as I was reading church history, I began to understand something of the beauty and the depth of this Protestant faith. I learned something of the deep convictions of those who held to those precious gospel truths, and many of them willing to die rather than recant their faith and deny the Lord. Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you've never read it, made a lasting impression upon me, and I soon became familiar with the names of William Tyndale and Latimer and Ridley and John Bunyan and many others. Then one day the Bondage of the Will by Martin Luther fell into my lap, and I began to read that, and he very quickly became one of my new favourites. I learned everything that I could about him, and I read everything I could find by him, and I enjoyed his writings and his wit. And now, well over 30 years later, we're celebrating the Great Reformation that was initiated by, well, I'm going to say my dear German friend back in the 16th century. And so for a few moments, I want to take the opportunity and share with you some of the reasons why I am a Protestant. I don't quite have 95 reasons like Martin Luther, but I have a few. You're probably glad I don't have 95. But I'll share with you what I have, and I trust that you will be able to share in those reasons also. Firstly, I am a Protestant because I believe in the supremacy of Scripture. First and fundamental to my Protestant faith is the sufficiency of the Word of God. Well, we sometimes refer to it as sola scriptura. In other words, to understand the ways of God, we don't need human councils or popes. All we need is the open Word of God before us to be able to read the Scriptures and to pray over it and meditate upon them, trusting that the Spirit of God who inspired them and preserved the Scriptures will be the same one who will reveal them to us. And I believe that as we seek the Lord with all of our heart, that He makes His Word and His will and His ways known unto us. And that's why we begin always with that theme, sola scriptura. It was the first fight of the Reformation. They firmly believed that if you put the Bible into the hands of the ordinary person to be able to read for themselves, that they'll be able to understand what God has revealed. The alternative is to hand over the scriptures to the experts and only allow them to read it and interpret it and dispense it at their pleasure. In the days before the Protestant Reformation, as we mentioned this morning, the Roman Catholic Church had a hold upon the Bible. And to a large degree, it was a forbidden book to the average person. Chained up in churches, inaccessible, in languages you couldn't read. The average person couldn't get their hands upon a copy of God's Word. And because of that, the scriptures and scriptural knowledge was exceedingly low, even amongst those professing to be the clergy. And what happened is that popes and councils ruled the day. They became known as the keepers of the truth. They were the interpreters of the scriptures. And the average person had no idea whether what they were being taught was actually in accordance with what God said. And that changed in the days of the Reformation. God worked in the hearts of many individuals to translate the Word of God into the language of the ordinary person. We talked about some of them already this morning, the likes of William Tyndale and the likes. So I hope that when you sit here this afternoon and you hold your Bible in your hand, that you do not simply take it for granted that everyone always had a Bible. Godly men put it there in a language that you can understand at the very cost of their own lives. And so the first principle that we hold to is, as Protestants, is sola scriptura. But it's one thing to profess that, but I wonder, do we practice that? Let me ask you some questions. How central is the Bible in your life? How central has it been this past week? Did you read it? Did you meditate upon it? Did you pray over it? The scriptures are our only rule of faith and practice. The Word of God is far more important than any theologian or council or papal decree or ecclesiastical tradition or confession of faith. When the first reformers started preaching and teaching, they wanted to go back to the original source of Christianity. They went back to the scriptures that had been lost for so many years. And in that spirit, Martin Luther proclaimed before the Diet of Worms, "Unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, I cannot and will not recant." I'm a Protestant because I believe in the supremacy of the scriptures. Secondly, I'm a Protestant because I believe that salvation comes by the grace of God alone. I didn't do anything to deserve God's salvation. There were no good works that I'd performed, no pilgrimages that I'd went upon, no long prayers that I'd offered, no personal decision, nothing whatsoever. Not only did I do nothing to obtain God's favor, there was nothing that I could do. Because I cannot be saved by my good works. I have none. I have nothing that I can render to a holy God to make me acceptable in His sight. I'm not saved by keeping His laws because I've broken them all. I've broken them in word and thought and deed. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, we're not declared righteous in God's sight by our performing of good deeds. To the Romans he said, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I did not seek after God, because I was spiritually dead before Him. There are none that seeketh after God. Because of my sinfulness, I was without power to please God. I was unable to do anything except continue on in my sin. Romans 3 verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There are none that doeth good, no, not one. I did not find salvation. Salvation found me because it pleased our Heavenly Father to choose me according to His inexplicable grace. In Ephesians 1 and verse 4 we read, according as He hath chosen us in Him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. As Paul will later say in the same book, by grace are ye saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. The early Protestants gloried in the salvation made possible by Almighty God. During those years of Reformation, the keynote was sounded loudly for all to hear. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all of God. He instituted it. He has brought it to our lives. He has saved us. He keeps us. Salvation is by God's grace. A third reason that I am a Protestant is because I believe in justification by faith alone, or sola fide, faith alone. We are declared righteous in God's sight because of His grace in choosing us and because of our faith placed in Him. Martin Luther said that this was the cardinal doctrine, the one that separates between error and truth. He says that by this doctrine the church either stands or falls. How do we receive the gift of God, which is eternal life? And the answer from the scriptures is by faith alone. Now, we should be clear here that the Roman Catholic Church does not deny that you need faith in order to be saved. In fact, it positively stresses the need of faith in order to be saved. The sticking point, however, is the word alone. Faith alone. You see, to faith they would add the traditions of men. Priestly absolution, penances, indulgences, pilgrimages, prayers to the saints, and so on. For them, justification is grace plus merit, faith plus works. And they'll say that our good works are necessary for a soul to be justified, whereas we as Protestants believe that the scriptures make clear that salvation is by God's grace alone, and that is received through faith alone. That doesn't mean that we won't have good works. The difference is that we don't believe that our good works will save us. We believe our good works are a result, a fruit of a thankful heart that is overwhelmed at the bliss of God's salvation that He has gifted to us. And that we are declared just or righteous before God due to faith, and faith alone in the Son of God, nothing more and nothing less. And of course, the very faith that we need to trust in God is not our own. It's a gift from God. Ephesians 2 verse 8 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Fourthly, I am a Protestant because I believe that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone, or solus Christus, as the Reformers might have said. That affirmation that it is Jesus Christ alone who is able to save us. Not an alternative, not another Savior, not Jesus Christ plus something else, but Him alone. And therefore we believe that it's Christ's sacrifice alone that saves us. That there is no other satisfactory way for us to deal with our guilt. There's no other way for us to approach unto God and be reconciled to Him. There is no other way, no other truth, no other life except our approach to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That it's His sacrifice alone that can remove our guilt. That was the position of the reformers, and as difficult as it is to maintain in this age where everything seems to be valid and every way seems to be appreciated, it's still our conviction today that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Therefore, when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice at Calvary has been our only grounds of salvation, that means there are certain things that we must reject. We reject any other Savior. We reject any other approach unto God. We reject any other sacrifice. That's why we reject the Mass as a re-sacrificing of Christ, a reenactment of His death upon Calvary, where the priest miraculously, supposedly, turns the bread and the cup into the literal body and blood of Christ to repeat the sacrifice. Let me tell you, God said that sacrifice was once and for all, never to be repeated. We don't need another sacrifice. We approach unto God on the basis of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and that once and never to be repeated sacrifice. There is where our forgiveness of sins is found. Therefore, we reject the need of indulgences, where we can supposedly purchase the benefits or the merits of the saints towards the remission of our sins. We don't need to go to the saints for their merits, because even if they had any, they weren't sufficient to save themselves anyway. Christ's merits are sufficient. And so we reject the notion of indulgences, and we reject the notion of purgatory, where the souls of believers allegedly go to be purged of their guilt, to go and pay for those unpaid or unatoned sins and be readied for heaven. Let me tell you, on the authority of God's word, that if you have unpaid sins when you leave this world, you are lost for all eternity. If, however, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, there are no unpaid sins. His sacrifice covers all of our guilt, or else it doesn't cover any of it. Fifthly, I am a Protestant because I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the sole head of the church. And instead of appealing to Mary as a co-redeemer, or the Pope as the head of the church, our Protestant forefathers underlined this one truth time and time again, that the universal church, the church Catholic, has only one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 verse 18 says that He, that is our Savior, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Even before Martin Luther nailed his theses to the church door at Wittenberg, there were other preachers of this truth. Men like John Wycliffe in England, and John Hus in the Czech Republic, sharing the same doctrines. In the words of Hus, he said, neither the Pope nor the cardinals are the head of the church, only Christ is her head. Nevertheless, it wasn't until Luther came that this truth spread with renewed vigour across the continent. Sixthly, I'm a Protestant because I believe that God deserves all the glory. Now, you're probably thinking, but who wouldn't agree with that? But you know, that was one of the main problems that the reformers had with Catholic theology. That they believed that it robbed God of His glory. Because in that system, you've got the veneration of Mary, the adoration of the saints, the elevation of the priesthood, especially of the Pope, and all resulting in the glory being directed towards them rather than to the Savior. And the Lord tells us quite explicitly in Isaiah 48 that He will not share His glory with another. The salvation that he has planned from eternity past, brought into time to save men, to bring them to glory, that salvation was designed so that God himself would receive the glory. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 7, according to the riches of his glory, to the end that those who trust in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And since God deserves all the glory, a church system that's based then upon the meritorious works of the deceased saints, the power of priests to forgive sins, the indulgences of popes to reduce time in purgatory, all end up dealing a death blow to the splendor of the gospel. And so the reformers adopted the motto, Solo Dea Gloria, to the glory of God alone, not to the elevation of man or church or system, but to God be the glory. Seventhly, I am a Protestant because I believe in the centrality of the pulpit. To have a service in the form of a ceremony that practically no one understands, brought to you in a language that no one could interpret, somehow loses the message of the gospel. The reading of the Bible, however, and the expository teaching of it is indispensable to the worship of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the reformers changed the format of the churches wherein they worshipped. So rather than having a crucifix or a statue of the Virgin or a communion table taking up the central spot upon the platform, they placed the pulpit there. Now why did they put the pulpit in the middle? Because the pulpit symbolizes the proclamation of the word of God. The central focus of our worship week by week is what saith the Lord. And that's why today, yet in Protestant churches, we have a Bible just on or below the pulpit, open for all to read. Because this is where we find how God is to be worshipped. The center of the church is not Mary, or the communion table, or the musical instruments, but the precious word of God, the treasure above all treasures. And thanks to the efforts of Ulrich Zwingli, expository preaching was birthed throughout Europe and spread into the newly reformed church. Homilies were set aside and powerful sermons straight from the word of God were preached. Eighthly, I'm a Protestant because I believe that individually we have direct access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not invoke the names of saints or virgins to intercede for us before the throne of God because we do not need them. We do not come to a priest in order to intercede for us because we do not need him. We have direct access to the Lord on the basis of the impeccable and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have but one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We have and need no other mediator. We reject every other mediator. They are false mediators. We don't need celestial mediators such as angels or saints. We don't need earthly mediators such as clergymen, priests or popes. We have a Savior who ever lives to mediate. He's found forever at the Father's right hand, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he says, come unto me. We neither want nor need any other mediator but Christ alone. We have direct access to God through him. Ninthly, I am a Protestant because I believe in the priesthood of all believers. I rejoice to know that every believer who has been saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone is able to present their personal case at the throne of grace. We don't need access or to go through some super spiritual representative of the church who has a special corner on the market in order to provide more power for your prayers. The proclamation has gone forth that every believer is welcomed into the presence of God to make his wants and his wishes known, to come before the throne of grace. We don't need a special elevated people to do that for us. We do not accept the Roman Catholic division of clergy and laity as if one is more higher or holy than the other. There is no spiritual superclass. Every child of God is equally saved and has equal access unto the throne of God. And no matter what sphere of life or service that God calls us to, that is a spiritual work to be done for the Lord. You don't have to be a full-time minister or missionary to be blessed of God. Martin Luther once remarked that the shoemaker who makes his shoe for the glory of God is a holy minister of the gospel. You don't have to be preaching from a pulpit to be used by God. There's no such thing or division such as the spiritual realm and the secular realm of our life. They're one. If we walk in the Lord, everything that we do is holy and unto the Lord. And so we seek to glorify God wherever He has placed us. I seek to glorify Him as a pastor. You can seek to glorify Him in your workplace, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child. You can glorify God as a farmer or a factory worker or a stay-at-home mother. It doesn't matter where you are or what you do. We do all to the glory of God. Now, why raise these points? Because I believe that the issues are still important today. And by identifying ourselves as Protestant, we declare that we stand together on what we consider to be the essential truths of the Christian faith, the things that a person needs to know in order for their soul to be saved. We not only identify with one another, but we identify with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world today, and even those from the past who have believed and proclaimed these same truths. And by calling ourselves Protestant, we are declaring that we're teaching the same way of salvation that was proclaimed by the Apostle Paul, by Tertullian, by Augustine, by Anselm and Wycliffe, Huss and Luther, Zwingli and Calvin, Cranmer and Knox, Owen and Bunyan and Wesley and Whitfield and Spurgeon and countless others of the Christian history. And truly we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And our Protestantism is a declaration before God, before the world, before the churches, that we stand on the same ground theologically, biblically, as those who went before us. And that we are especially committed to the doctrines of the Reformation, of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the message that the world still needs to hear. Telling men and women little moral stories will not make them better. Our little emotional, spiritual homilies that bring a tear to the eye will not bring them nearer to God, but the gospel of God's grace. To tell the lost of their sin, but of the hope that's found in Jesus Christ alone as the only means of escape, that's what the world still needs to hear. That there is a way to be made right in the sight of a holy God, that we can be justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And if we want to be saved, if we want our churches to be built up, this is the message that we must proclaim. Also, by identifying ourselves as Protestants, we admit the many failings of Protestant churches and Protestant denominations. because we have not always lived up to the standards that have been laid down in the Scriptures for us. We have needed, and we still need, the empowering work of the Spirit of God in our generation, just as he was needed in the generations previous. And so the Reformed Church is one that should always be reforming, abandoning our errors, striving for an ever-increasing purity of life and worship. And our hope for that is in the reviving power of God, for his Holy Spirit to come amongst us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to give us an increased love for the Lord and for his word. That's the hope of the church then, and is the hope of the church now. Now, this isn't something that we can work up or demand or expect. How and when God revives his church is an act of his sovereign grace. And we don't achieve anything by looking back and trying to reproduce the days of the past. But what we can do is to hold fast to the Lord, to proclaim the great truth that salvation is of the Lord, that there is hope for dying men and women in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and that if we come to him by faith, we can and will be saved. And when we do that, when we hold fast to those truths and proclaim them, then I believe that we will prove ourselves to be true Protestants still. And it won't simply be a cultural attachment, a badge belonging to some past generation, that we will still be standing where the Reformers stood. And I believe that if and when we do that, then we can expect God's blessing. And we can see his church purified. That's what we want, a purified church. And the Lord to work in us and through us, that the light of the gospel might continue to shine. And that the light that once spread throughout Europe and then throughout the rest of the world as believers in Christ shared what God had done with them and pointing to the Scriptures revealed the hope of man in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we will do that, then I believe we have every reason to expect that the revivals that came as a result of that in the past can still happen today. We can look to the Lord for his blessing. I ask you to join with me and to stand on biblical ground and to continue to hold fast the great truths of the Word of God and proclaim them loudly for all to hear. May the Lord help us to do that. Amen.